Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, the second book in the Word of God, Genesis, Exodus. And we're continuing with our study of the names of God. We know that the names of God is a way that God has chosen to reveal Himself to us. By these names, it shows us a little bit more about His character, about His attributes, that we can learn who God is. And we're thankful that God has chosen to reveal Himself. And as we study the names of God, not only do we study the names of God, but we have to study the context that the names of God are found in. And so we find our way to the book of Exodus and chapter number 17. The book of Exodus, chapter 17. Now, if you're keeping track inside of the Word of God and knowing where we're at, we know that in Exodus 14, the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Exodus 15, you had the children of Israel singing songs until one of their needs weren't met and they immediately turned to complaining. Now, as they're progressing on, they're wandering through the wilderness, making their way to Mount Sinai, to Mount Horeb, where in Exodus 20, they're going to receive the Ten Commandments. So we're in between them crossing the Red Sea and getting to Mount Sinai. And along the way, they run into an enemy, a group of people called the Amalekites that are going to stand opposed to the people of God. And let's pick this up as God deals with the Amalekites in the book of Exodus in chapter number 17. The book of Exodus chapter 17, and notice with me if you don't mind, starting at verse number 8. The book of Exodus 17 and verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. And tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up on his hands, one to the one side and one to the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memoriam in a book. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And with the Lord's help, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a name of God that we find in the book of Exodus chapter 17. The book of Exodus 17, and notice with me in verse 15, the name of God, Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. With the Lord's help, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, I'm just asking that you would give us grace and that you would give us mercy and that you would just help us even now to be able to understand what a great and loving God that you truly are, that we would be able to see it in the context, to see what you're getting across, to see how important this is, that you're the God who fights for us. You're the God who loves us. You're the God who defends us. Help us to learn more about who you are. Give me wisdom and discernment to be your servant during this message, that you could use me however you see fit to get across who you are, to explain what a wonderful God that you are. Help us to have our mind and attention upon you, and you are a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, because this is a great story, and we hit this in Sunday school, but we could dive in a little bit deeper, if you don't mind, perhaps we could kind of illustrate this. I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer. Come here and volunteer for me. Come on. You're my volunteer. So in order to illustrate this properly, we want to be able to, I'm going to put you right here. And we know that in this story, Moses is going to have an important job. His job is to lift up his hands and to keep them held up. So in order to do that, I want you to take a songbook in each hand. And I want you to hold them up. So the idea is that as long as you hold them up, we're winning the battle. But if you let your arms drop, we're going to lose. Now, we don't want to lose, do we? Mm-mm. So what's your job?
Lift them up.
Yep. Yeah. So the whole time, you got to keep them up, okay? Got it? So, as Moses and the children of Israel are now crossing into the desert, heading to Mount Sinai, they're now running to an enemy, a classic enemy, a perpetual enemy of the people of Israel, of the Amalekites. The first thing I'd like to show you in this text here is the battle. You're doing good. Good. We got the introduction done. Now we got three more points. Good. So we come to the battle. We come to the battle. So the people are journeying to Mount Sinai, and notice with me in verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. So now we have a location and we have the people who are fighting against them. The Amalekites have always been opposed to the people of God. And even generations later, you're going to watch them show up. They're going to show up during King Saul's time. They are going to show up in Esther's time. When you see Haman, the enemy, that he was an Amalekite. So this is going to be a generational enemy that they're going to fight against. And the Amalekites didn't just attack the strongest soldiers, but they win over the stragglers. According to Deuteronomy 25, what they were trying to do was go after the weak people. They were trying to get the people who were not part of the group, the people who were missing, the people who were sick, the people who were there, the one who were faint and feeble, the ones that were lagging behind. And their cruelty revealed their opposition. They just didn't want to destroy them. They wanted to demoralize them. So you're still doing good, man. God's people weren't prepared for the war, but God was. So notice, if you don't mind, as we look in verse number 9. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand atop of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. So notice, everyone has their job to do. Joshua has a very important job of leading the people to war. But Joshua's fighting, he had to do his job to be done, but that's not what won the war. What happened is that Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the hill. And their job is to pray. And as they're praying, Moses has his hands lifted up, and he's got to keep them up in the air. His job, he is praying and with the rod of God and saying, "Come on, God, you've got to win the battle. You've got to win the battle." Notice that this wasn't just a one-time prayer and then we're done. It was in continual. He had to continue to pray, continue to lift up God, continue to trust that God would win the battle, continue that God was the one who was now going to go. Now, at this time, Moses is 80 years old. Now, you are not 80, are you?
No.
That means you could hold it up because you're young and healthy longer than Moses, so good job. God had given him a work to do, but Moses had some physical limitations. Some of you are not 80 and you have physical limitations.
Amen.
Some of you feel this young man's pain and you're not even up here. You're not in pain yet, are you?
I'm tired.
Well, you're fine. And so Moses could not let tired be an excuse. He had a job to do and he had to keep doing the job, no matter how tired he got, no matter how bored he got, no matter how distracted he got. His job was to keep his hands up, because if he let them down, the enemy was going to start winning. You don't want the enemy to start winning.
No.
Do you know what happened when we say the enemy, you know, that's something. If you let your hands down, people die. You don't want that. If you lower your hands, people are going to die. Do you know every time Moses felt tempted to lower his hands, that'd be a wake-up call. People will die if I don't keep my hands lifted. People are going to perish if I don't keep lifting up God and depending on God. You know, this is an important part of the battle. This is very important. Now, this is not a decorative gesture. Moses had to have that rod in his hands for hours. This is a long message. You could do this. But Moses, after hours, anyone's hands will get tired. And they begin to fail. You imagine the very first time it began to sag and to watch as the enemy started killing, started to destroy. He realized how important it was, his job was. Joshua may be on the battlefield, but this is also a battle. The battle being won in prayer. And may I say that this battle here is almost as important. Now, Joshua's job is important. It cannot be done without him. But there had to be the prayer. It had to be lifting up of God. It had to be pointing out to God. His hands were raised. And as long as they were up, Israel's winning. So Israel's winning right now. Good job. Keep them winning. We got to win this war. Remember that Moses is not just standing there just for a couple of minutes. The battle is raging all day. Oh, that's good water. Now, to someone on the front line looking at Moses holding up his hands with the rod of God, it doesn't look like battle to them. He's just sitting there with his hands up. What good is that? So many times we get focused on the frontline battle, we forget how important it is to pray, how important it is to get a hold of God, how important it is to get God involved in it, because it has to be God. But as time went on, notice what happened. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Hands still heavy?
I'm getting really tired.
Okay. Well, what happened is that they gave him a stone. You could sit down now. Got to keep him up. Is that a little bit better?
Yeah.
So they let him sit down now. Moses was tired. And so they let him sit down. Now he could hold up his hand just a little bit longer. Now he could adjust a little bit more. Now he could let just his arms do it instead of his whole body. All right, great, great. We're still going. This battle's still raging. It's going on and on. Kind of like my message. On and on and on. But you know what happened? After he sat there like this for a while, and it was nice to sit down. Is your arm still heavy?
No.
Okay, good. Well, then you can last for a little bit. I will go ahead and embellish in some other points then. Yeah. And so Moses is also picturing what pastoring has looked like. It may not look like frontline warfare, but the outcome is still the same. When the man of God grows weary and lets down the rod, people fall. Lives are affected. Joshua could not win without Moses. The outcome on the ground was directly tied into the prayer and the strength of the man that was on the hill. And that's how the work of God functions. Each role is different, but none of them are optional. Moses could not be replaced, but he could be supported. And so, how's your arms? You could do this for longer?
Yeah.
Okay, let me know when it starts getting weak. I got to just back up my message and try to get some more until he gets there. Eventually, his arms got tired. And so he had to have two people support him. I need two people to support. Let's do a Max, not Max, Zeb, and a Samantha. All right? So, Moses' job is to hold up his arms. But they get tired. I mean, this has been going on for a while. So, I want you guys to take an arm and help support it up. Just help them hold it up. Is that a little bit better? Mm-hmm. Good. Now, why didn't Zeb push Ananias out of the way and say, I'll do it myself? Because it wasn't his job. The man of God had his job to do, and it was no one else's job. However, the people could support the man of God in order for the man of God to keep his arms up for the battle to be won. Everyone has their role to do. Everyone has a responsibility. Everyone has a job. And so as long as the hands are being up, the battle's being won. But notice that Moses was not expected to hold him up by himself. He did a while. You can imagine that. And he got tired. And they said, you know what? Let's help you out, preacher. You go ahead and sit down. But even that, after the battle went on for hours and hours and hours. I've got till midnight. You got fine?
I'm fine.
Okay, good. You know, the longer it went on, the more it was. But as he got people to support him, he could last. This battle lasted all day. I meant just holding up for a couple of minutes. Some of you are tired just for him. You could do this, right? Good. But having the support up. Now, by the way, being support. I mean, you guys are tired and uncomfortable now, right? A little bit? Oh, good. Well, praise the Lord for your people who are able to do that supporting. Because imagine if they got tired and they had to quit. I can't do this no more. Well, now the preacher's back doing it himself. Every job's important. Was Joshua's job important? Is Moses' job important? Is Aaron and Hur's job important? All of them were necessary in order for this to get accomplished. Now, God's winning the battle. But God has everyone to do their part while God does his part. This is what we're seeing here, is that they bore the burden so the pastor could continue, the preacher, the man of God could continue to lift up his arms. And the battle is won as everyone does their part. Amen. And eventually the battle was won. Notice verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up on his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. They're steady now until the going down of the sun. Well, the sun's already gone down, so now we got to wait for it to come up. And so what a great victory that was won. And verse 13, and Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And God got the battle won. Now you did well. I'm going to finish the rest of the sermon. Good illustration. Good. You go ahead and sit down now. Good. Sometimes with those Sunday school stories, just like with kids, to have that image in our head helps us out. To be able to see a man actually holding it up. To be able to sense him, oh man, look, he's getting tired. To see the shaking. Oh man, it's his job. To see Aaron and Hur support him without taking over. What do you need? You need to sit down. Let's take care of you, preacher. Hey, you need us to help you hold up your hands? That's great. We're not taking over for you. We're supporting you because we realize how important it is to get the battle done.
Amen.
And God got the battle won. Now, it's one thing to experience this, but God wasn't finished. Not only do we see the battle, we see the book. We see the book. Notice with me in verse 14. And the Lord said to Moses, when this is all over, write this for a memorial in a book. Hey, guess what? He wrote it down in a book. And we're able to read it for ourselves to see what happened. God says, this is important. I want you to get this lesson down. Write it in the book. And now we have the Bible here to support, to teach us about this, that we could learn this about answered prayer. We could see God winning the victory. It's not just stories, It's now recorded, and we can see what God has done. It was a reminder that God answered prayer, that God's the one who won the battle, that the preacher needs to be supported. The preacher has his job. Joshua had his job. All of that is recorded. And it was almost like a prayer journal. Look at, we prayed for this, and look at what God did. We now have it answered. We now have it recorded. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this in a memorial for a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. He says, I don't want you just to write it in the book and then forget about it. When Joshua gets here, you tell him what happened. That as he comes back and tells you about the battle won on the front lines, notice God didn't say anything about the battle on the front lines. He made the emphasis on the battle up here. And he said, when Joshua gets here, why? Because Joshua's going to take over. Joshua doesn't know it yet. But God says, you make sure you tell Joshua this. Why? Because when he is leading things and he's the man of God in charge, he needs to remember the battle's won in prayer. The battle's won by lifting up his hands. And he needs to find able men who are going to be able to support him. Why? As others in the battle. He says, make sure that Joshua knows this because he's going to need this lesson for himself. The Bible was written so we could learn these lessons and then apply them to ourselves. It's not there just to be a cute Sunday school story. It's there so we could practice it ourselves. To be able to find our role. Is it that we're on the front lines fighting the battle? Is it that it's our job to lift up the hands in prayer? Is it our job to help support the man of God so he can win the battle? Finding our role and where we are in the battle is so important because everyone has a job to do. Everyone has a part. And God says, write it in the book. Write it down so you can look it back. Rehearse it. Tell the story again to Joshua. And tell it to others so they know what the story is about. So they could see it for themselves. This is what Scripture is all about, is us learning about God, learning about how God works, learning our roles, and learning how God wins the battle so we can have victories in our own life because he's a great God. So we start off with the battle. And then we continue on with the book. But one more thing I want to show you, and that's the banner. Again, the whole time we want to learn about the names of God, but we haven't come to it yet. We have the context of the battle being won. We have the book being recorded. But then we get to the banner. Notice with me in verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord had sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So after it's all said and done, God says, write it down in a book. Great. After God is done doing, after Moses is finished writing the account, he immediately puts up an altar. What is an altar for? It is a place where we meet with God and remember what God has done for us. And he builds this altar and he calls it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. You're like, okay, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, a banner is kind of like a flag, but more specifically, it is a military standard. You're like, what's that? Well, we use that as flags, but it is a military standard that you keep in battle to let you know which side you're on. Amen. You want to know who you're fighting. You want to know who's on your side. When you sing something like the Star Spangled Banner, remember at the middle of the song, it said that he took heart to see his flag was still there. Francis Scott Key wrote this in the War of 1812, when the English had taken him prisoner and he was below deck. He did not know how the battle was going. He did not know who was winning. He knew that he was a prisoner of war for the English side. And as the English were pounding and fighting on the sea against the American forces in the American fort of Fort Sumter, when he was able to look in the morning, he went and saw that his flag was still there and that the Americans had not lost the battle yet, that they were still fighting on, and he took courage. That's where the song came from. The idea was, is that when the people saw Moses standing up there, they were not saying, oh, look, Moses is winning the battle. They were able to go up there. He's talking to God and God's winning the fight. We're under the banner of God. It wasn't Moses' flag. It was God's flag. We're in the Lord's army. He's winning the battle. He's winning the fight. And his banner over me, as long as I'm on the Lord's side, I know I'm on the right side. I'm not on my side and trying to get God to come over to me. I find God's side and I go over there. And as long as I'm on God's side, I know we're going to win. And all throughout the Bible, we see this theme show up over and over about God being our banner, our standard, our military flag, to let us know in the battle that as long as we're still fighting on his side, he's the one that's going to win. That God is the one who wins for us. Psalm 60 and verse 4 says, "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, and that it may be displayed because of truth." Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of truth. Remember, truth is on God's side. Amen. That God is truth. And that we're on his side. We're on the winning side. We don't have to worry about those who are trying to fight against us. We're on the truth. And that we depend on him. We fear on him. He's the one that wins the battle. Later on in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 4, this banner is defined even further, where Solomon's wife is now being brought to Jerusalem. And as she's being brought to Jerusalem, she sees the banners all displayed because of Solomon and because of the wedding day. And she exclaims in Song of Solomon 2:4, "His banner over me was love." Amen. She goes, I could take comfort because it's not just a military battle, but he loves me. He cares for me. This love is covers us. This is why he leads us. This is why he never abandons us in the fight, because he loves us. He will continue going on. This is not a love that is passive or distant. It is an active love. In fact, Jesus tried to illustrate this in the gospel record of Matthew 23, verse 37, when he wept over Jerusalem and he said, "How often would I gather thy children together as a hen gathered her chickens under her wing, and you would not." He cried and he says, listen, my banner would be over you. For those of you who are not familiar with barnyard animals, that during a rainstorm and the chickens are outside in the open, the mother hen will open up her wings and allow her little baby chicklets to get under her wings so they would be safe from the rain. And as long as they were under there, they would be safe. And Jesus said, my banner would be over you. If you would just come underneath the shelter of my wings, you would have been protected. But you refused. And I'm brokenhearted because I would love to protect you. I would love to fight the battle for you. But you keep wanting to do it on your own. And he says, that's sad because I would have taken care of it for you. When the idea that his banner over me is love, it does me no good if his banner is way over there and I'm over here. It means something when I'm looking under it and the banner's flying over me and I know I'm protected and I'm safe where I'm at, even if the battle rages. The book of Romans goes on and explains what can separate us from the love of God. In fact, turn there if you don't mind with me, the book of Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8 is wonderful. It just so happens it's also the exact sermon I was working on today. So it's fresh in my mind, Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8, Paul is making a conclusion statement for some things he was teaching about the Holy Spirit's interaction with man. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 31. What shall we say again to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Remember, this is the idea of a battle cry. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who could be against us? If I'm under his banner, who's going to fight and beat up God? I'm on his side. Notice verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 32 says, because he loves us, he's willing to give us what we need. It does not make sense for Jesus Christ to die on the cross because he loved us, but not give us $5.48 when we need it. Amen. Because he loves us, he's also willing to give us much more than just paying our debt. In fact, there was an old Roman story of a wealthy man in Rome whose son had disappointed him and broke his heart very badly. So the owner, the father, decided to rewrite his will and give everything to his slave, Marcellus. And so he decided to break the news, brought his son in, and said, "Son, because of your actions, you're not getting anything. I'm giving everything to the slave Marcellus. However, I will allow you to choose one thing from my estate for you to have." And the man said, "Well, then I choose Marcellus." Because if he had Marcellus, he also had everything. When we have Christ, we also have everything. And when we have Christ, we have everything we ever need and want. It's about having Christ. Again, God said that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If I have Christ, then I also have everything I need, because he has everything. Amen. And he's able to supply it. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. If God's banner over me is love, and this love can't fail, who can accuse me of anything and get away with it? Because God is my judge, Jesus is my advocate. He's already won the case. Amen. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that dieth, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Oh, isn't that wonderful? We have an advocate who's defending us because he loves us. As many times as I fail him, he loves me enough to still defend me. As many times I've disappointed him, he loves me enough to depend. His banner over me is love. Oh, and who can separate me from this great love? In fact, verse 35, ask that question. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? Can problems pull you away from who God is? No, not at all. Shall distress? No. Shall persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Or peril? No. Or sword? Who can actually pull us away from God's banner that's over us? If we are underneath God's banner, we are safe. Nothing could pull us away from his banner, because his banner over me is love. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're on the winning side, and we're more than conquerors, because his banner over me is love. Amen. I'm more than just a project. He loves me enough to defend me, to fight me, to win the battles. He's not going to allow the enemy to conquer me. Verse 38, for I am persuaded, I'm convinced by evidence that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 38 and 39, Paul just goes through a longer out poetical way of saying nothing. Death, nope. Life, no. Angels, heaven, hell, people, places, things, height, depth, nothing can separate you from the love of God, because his banner over me is love, and no one is strong enough, able enough to get me away from his love, because he loves me that much. Because of this, we could see God win the fight for us. Because of this, God wins the battle. Because of this, nothing can conquer me. My sin, my addiction cannot win if God is on my side. That if I depend on God, he can win the battle over every single thing I face. The problem is when we're not going to God and we're trying to go out from beyond his banner to go fight ourselves in our own strength and our own things, and we find ourselves vulnerable. It's only when we're under his banner that we see that protection. His banner over me is love. That is our Jehovah Nissi. That is the one who could win the fight. That's the one who wins. Moses did not win the battle, and Joshua did not win the battle. God did. But how was the battle won? When the people willingly stood underneath his banner and allowed him to do the fighting. his banner over me is love. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for this encouraging message. Help us to be dependent upon you. Help us to stay within your banner. Help us not to wander around by ourselves, vulnerable to the enemy, but help us to stay where it's safe and let you win the fight, let you win the battle. We just do our part, that we find our part, and we do have a role. There are times that we are on the front line and we're depending upon you to win victories in our life. There are times that it's our job to support the man of God so he can do what his job is and see the victory won. Help us to be very conscious of what we're supposed to be doing and that you would direct us and that we would depend upon you to win every battle, every fight, every war, every distress. We could trust you to be God. Lord, be an encouragement to someone tonight that maybe they're feeling beat down. Maybe they're feeling even conquered. Maybe they could feel themselves weak and frail. Let them just nestle underneath the sheltering of your wings and realize that you can give us that protection and that when we have you, we have everything we need. And you could just give comfort, give hope, give encouragement to someone tonight that you are trustworthy. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.